This is Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com. Hey, John.
Hi, Fiona.
You have a really interesting quote today.
It's one I found, and it was said by Henry Ford, the automaker. And it's something I truly, truly believe. So I bring it forth. His quote is, The only mistake is one from which we learn nothing.
So truth of it is, there are no mistakes.
Exactly. If we don't learn anything from the mistakes, you know, then...
Then it's painful.
Then it's painful. And you're open to repeating it time and time and time and time again, and more pain. When we get into that downward spiral, it can be very hurtful to the self and the heart, you know.
And we always have challenges in our life. If we see them as challenges as opposed to mistakes...
Yes.
That's incredibly empowering.
Oh, yes, but I can tell you so many mistakes that I've made. But I can also, and you know, I can laugh at them and tell you what I learned from that mistake.
Do you want to share one each?
So, relationships, you know, I've been in several relationships which were an utter mistake. And an utter mistake. And so
what?
It became not a mistake when I sat back and I thought, now, why did I do this? Why did I allow myself to get into this? What was I looking for? What was I not seeing? What have I learned from this? And I love the Lakota way of saying, you know, we have our pathway, and sometimes we step off our pathway in life, the red road. We step off that. But that's so that we can have lessons to learn. It's a medicine walk we're going on, collecting medicine, collecting wisdom, and then we get back on track. So that's, I think if we can say that there is a mistake. I've made things difficult for myself in many times. There are many times that in my career as an actress that I didn't follow through because I just didn't want to be seen, you know? And so I didn't take advantage of, like other people would do, of situations. Yet I don't think that's a mistake. Looking back on it, I'm very, very happy I didn't follow through on that. So I'm delighted that there are mistakes. I'm totally delighted there are mistakes because that gives us the ability to learn.
And I think that when we remain mindful, then there will be no more mistakes because every choice we make that appears to be a mistake, it brings us more consciousness. I know that I was with someone for 7 years in my 20s, and I looked back and I said, what was I doing?
Mm-hmm.
And this was a mistake. And why didn't I leave earlier? I knew earlier. Why did I hang in so long? But afterwards, there were so many gifts when I looked at it that I discovered through that relationship, through looking at myself, through the experiences I went through.
Yeah. Now, that's an important one for me because in one of my huge mistakes, I hung out for 12 years. And I would say to myself, well, I have high tolerance. Well, no. No, because when the time came, I just had to go. And in that time, I all of a sudden remembered to respect myself, respect my thoughts and my actions, and not let anybody tear it down or the belittling that can happen in a relationship.
And so that made you stronger because you knew how to respond to that. And, of course, there's some reaction, but the responding, it's almost like a schoolroom you go into, isn't it?
Yeah.
And for me, I know with that relationship, that person, he had a mother who was a theosophist. And he discovered that when I was saying things, that I was actually an intuitive. And he started having people come over to listen to channelings that I was doing. And so that was the beginning of my knowledge of being an intuitive and a medium. So that was an incredible gift.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many other things, same belittling, mm-hmm. degrading.
Mm-hmm.
But that each time that happens to us, because that's something that we have in our system, if it is in our system from various things. But it gave me more of an ability to see how I could deal with it, mm-hmm. to see how I could feel okay about myself. Even though he may have been saying this or that, I still could look at it and say, okay, so this is maybe true for him, but it's not true for me.
Well, I'd like to think that each acknowledged mistake makes you stronger.
I believe it does. From, yeah. You know, we're older now.
Did I tell you about my Thanksgiving?
talk
about it. A mistake. It was the turkey. I couldn't figure it out, but it was so bad. It ruined all the vegetables. It ruined everything. Not even the dog would eat it. And, you know, I said to my husband, I'm really so sorry. You put a lot of effort into this. The only thing that was good was his homemade cranberry jam, which didn't get in with the turkey. I said, well, what is this? And he said, well, it must have been in the freezer for a few years. And I thought, oh. So that's what we know. We don't keep meat in the freezer for a few years and expect to have a delicious meal as we defrost it. It was. But the interesting thing was, as soon as we realized at the end of all of Thanksgiving, and when it was a total disaster, when we realized what the mistake was, we started to laugh. And we laughed and we laughed and giggled, and it's become part of the family lore now, you know. So there's another mistake.
Yes, and I think there are simple mistakes that...
Like the time I cooked the turkey upside down. Oh, never. Or forgot to put it in the oven. I was basting something, I don't know what, but I'd forgotten to put the turkey in the oven.
Oh, that is so funny. And knowing you, you probably had a lot of people coming over.
Yes, it was in England, I did.
Oh,
I did.
No, so what did you do?
I just told them lunch would be delayed to dinner and made sandwiches for the kids.
So, yeah, and I think, you said, it can be something really simple, like something like, you know, an order of a coffee and you get the wrong coffee, or you make a meal and you work out to do. But every one of those things, again, makes it in the bigger things like our relationships.
Yeah.
I know the first, that relationship, that those 7 years made me so much stronger. I was a very mild and quiet person before that. I slowly started to learn how to speak up and how to address things that I'd never felt I could, being very English family, that I really had the right or the ability. Not that they suppressed us, it's just that nobody did it.
Yeah.
And so it was the beginning of speaking up. And then I had other relationships which were challenging, which I learned to speak up even more.
I know, isn't it great? But this is why it's only a mistake when you don't learn from it. And you and I have both learned from our mistakes, and I can even laugh at them. And not to think of them, not to ever, 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 classify, if you have to classify anything, to classify mistakes as a failure. It isn't. It's your growth. It's a gift of growth there if you look at where the growth comes.
I have a friend in New York, and she's estranged from her son, who she loves very much. But I said to her once, you know, I said to my daughter when she was 16, I would change about a million things that I, you know, think mistakes that I think I made, but I can't right now. So I can only go on from now. And she said, yes, that's true, but I hate to have hurt someone.
Mm.
So it's, you know, even when we've done things to hurt people and she can't reach this son, we can still learn something inside ourselves and make it mindful and work out maybe, you know, what we would have liked to have said or what actually was happening, or, you know, just sit with it and meditate on it and see what comes up.
What, you know, it's interesting that we're talking about mistakes, but there's also things that, for me right now, you know, as I'm going to sleep at night, I remember things. You know, I'm, you know, at the age of, what, how old am I now? 76?
Something like that, something? Yeah.
75? 75.
75.
Okay. Get to a certain age and it all blurs into one giant number. But I, all of a sudden I remember things, and then I get that ouch feeling of, ooh, I can't believe what on earth made me say that to somebody, or what made me react that way. And it's not that it was a mistake, but it was unnecessary. It could have been hurtful to somebody, which I didn't mean. And so there's a lot of things coming to me now where I want to go find that person and apologize. I'm sorry that I did this. And I did find somebody from way back, maybe 40 years ago, and I located them and I said, you know, I'm so sorry I didn't acknowledge you when we were filming in the park that day in London, and these two boys that I knew growing up had come to the park in London to watch the filming, and I saw them, but I didn't wave them over because we were all doing something, and that's lived with me. So, you know, and he says, oh, I don't even remember that when I finally got in touch with him. I said, well, I do, and I feel badly, and I want to apologize. So, but those aren't mistakes. I think those are remembrances of things maybe that we've done that aren't good.
Or maybe if we take away the word good.
Good, yeah.
That weren't conscious.
Yeah, because most of them were, I was not conscious of what I was doing at that time. And that is probably why I'm so aware of being conscious of doing something now.
Every time we do something, I think every time we do something or say something that appears to be a mistake, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's important to speak up and have a voice, even if it does offend somebody. Mm. Because having our voice is something that a lot of people don't feel they have the right, unless they're angry, to do. So if we can do it calmly and quietly from a place of balance, or even if we do it from anger, at least we have spoken up. Then we can go around and address.
Well, if we do it from, sorry, if we do it from a place of anger, it would be good if we had the consciousness to preface the anger with, that pushes a really hard button in me, and this is how I need to respond to that. So you're acknowledging why you're responding in that manner, rather than just throwing it at them, which is an insult. Because if you say, that makes me feel, and therefore I need to respond this way.
It's a great solution, because sometimes people cannot respond without anger, because if they don't feel they have the right to do it, so they have to get this huge amount of energy to push it out so that they can say it. And that's an interesting...
Or they're fearful.
Yes.
They're fearful of the consequences.
So anger gives them energy to push it out. So let's have a look at maybe the people who are listening. Ask yourself, have I made any mistakes that I can think of during the last week? Or during the last month?
Well, let's rephrase that. Uh-huh. What I would normally think of as a mistake.
Great. And then just go back and say, how can I make this conscious and take away the guilt? Because the mistakes often bring a huge amount of guilt to us.
And low self-worth.
Yes. And so we have to, again, everybody makes mistakes, and it's just not making them conscious that locks them inside ourselves and creates this guilt that we carry around as kind of a cloth around our shoulders, or a weight over our shoulders. And so I think going back periodically, maybe for 1 week, go back through different sections of your life and see if you can remember what you might have called a mistake. And then say to yourself, well, how can I make this more conscious? And how can I be aware of when this button, which would have made, if it's a mistake...
Triggered
it. So I can, next time it comes up, I can be conscious of it.
Good idea.
Because there is no learning in our existence, really, unless we have some kind of challenge or some kind of mistake. We don't usually learn much just from the easy times. At least that's what I found with most people. What do you feel?
I feel that I made a lot of mistakes in math.
Oh, dear.
I just didn't get math, period. And I was looking at a program last night, a documentary on math. I thought, well, this would be good. And it has, I mean, it got into, I don't even know what. Up to a certain point, I was okay. And then it said, you know, if you say one and one, or one times one equals one, if you have negative one times negative one, what do you think that is?
Well, for me, as soon as you start to come into numbers, my brain scrambles.
But that's mine too. But anyway, they said negative one times negative one doesn't equal negative one. It equals one. And that lost me. I thought, okay, I don't get this. Far beyond me, although I would love to understand math. And I still won't give up on it. But so if you give me a math paper, I'm going to make a load of mistakes and I don't care.
Well, if you give me a math paper, I'll probably hand it back to you. And just
that's
say,
good,
take it to Bob
answer.
Or take it to someone else, because, you know, for me, it's wonderful that you're doing that because it expands that inside you. For me, math is not something I'm at all interested in. I've got a calculator, and that's about the, you know, my fingers in a calculator, and that's about all I would be interested in. But if it fascinates people, because it's almost like, to me, math looks like a language almost, and you can learn it, and it can be probably the most magical thing.
And I was learning last night about the math that's in music. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, unbelievable. And in not only music, but in colors, anyway.
I think every part of life is involved in math.
Yes, and it goes back to the ancients and what they saw. So it was very interesting program, but it got to a point where I thought, okay, switch off, because I'm not getting that one. But I said to my son, who was I was watching it with, I said, you know, if you gave me 3 months with that 5 minutes in that film, maybe I could figure this out. But no, I can't.
It seems like, and there's probably some, you know, research. I'm sure there's research that's been done on it. But some people are much more math orientated than others, I think. And I've never been. My dad wasn't either. So, but my sister was. So it's like some people are just orientated, their minds seem to go to that so easily. But as I said, I think it's like a wonderful puzzle that certain. My great grandfather was in Cambridge, was a math. They have a special name for the top math students in Cambridge, Wrangler, math Wrangler. And I think he was like a genius with math. Was an inventor, but didn't come down to me.
Yeah, not nor me.
I think it's a brain. So, you know, when we do things, we have to look at ourselves and say, let me go through what I think is mistakes, and let me just move through those, and let me just say to myself, how do I move beyond thinking this is a mistake to finding
or
its strength?
The 12 years with the wrong person was a mistake. Mm-hmm. And I got out of it, and you did, and we got out of it stronger. And it made, what I learned from that is be very careful before you get into a relationship. And if it becomes evident that this is not a good thing, this relationship is not a good. I don't want to use the word good, but
kind of a match for you.
Yeah, good, a proper match, where you both sort of support each other and are good friends. Then we have to let it go.
And there are sometimes other relationships. There are some relationships that are smooth, not many, but most relationships we're going to have to work on things. Mm-hmm. All the time, because it's not, we come up against things with each other, and then we, we work through it and we move on and we get stronger, so it's not a mistake to stay sometimes, and sometimes it's not a mistake to go. But only we can find those times when it's best to stay or move.
I got a good one for you.
Yes.
So this is where my husband and I sort of, I mean, there are a lot of hiccups along the way, but this is a major one, because I'm aware of, if I'm interacting with people or we have to go to somebody's house or they're coming or I've promised to do this or I need to go pick up my son from school or however, whatever it is, and I say, come on, we gotta go, and he won't. And I said, we're going to be late. Well, who cares? I care very much. And I, what do you mean, who cares? I want to be respectful. And he says, I'm just in the present moment. And he keeps saying, I'm just going to be in the present moment. And I said, well, that doesn't get us very friggin' far. You know, if we have to go pick up somebody from school or whatever. So that's a hard one for me. That's kind of what I'm trying to work my way through that one. Because, of course, Ram Dass, who we both absolutely adore, says, be here now. And he has so many wonderful things to say about the present and the past and the now, as do many wise people. But I keep feeling, yeah, I love being here now. And if we have to go do something or if a bill needs to be paid.
I think the thing for me would be, I'm just going to take my car and go. You follow, and you come along soon.
Well,
just
I did that when we were supposed to be driving from California to Belize.
Oh dear!
In Central America, we packed the truck we were driving. Packed the truck full, and he refused to get into the truck for 3 months. 3 months, until I said I'm going now, and got in the truck, and he finally did get in the truck. But oh my goodness.
So I think, again, looking at our life, we've all got thousands of, maybe millions of what things we consider mistakes. And the idea is to sit with ourselves and just say, I think this is a mistake, but what consciousness, what strength, what gift, which gifts did it bring me?
Yeah.
So this is Earth Tribe Radio. We've been talking about mistakes and how to bring consciousness and expand them into gifts.
Yes.
This is Earth Tribe Radio, www.earthtriberadio.com.
Your home on planet Earth.